أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين، وبه نستعين. We seek refuge to the Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe, from the evil of the devil. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. It was a great honor and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had bestowed upon us. In last session, we have started tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah, the exegesis, the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we have just finished the first two ayah after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In quick summary, we said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. ألف لام ميم, three letters of the alphabet, three pronunciations of the factors of the language that we speak. These letters that about in every language they have a little extra. For instance, some languages we have 28 letters, some languages we have 26, some languages we have 32, and so forth. Consists of a whole language. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these letters in order to make a living miracle. A miracle that lives between us. A miracle that the closer you get to it, the closer it gets to you, the more power it gives you over the molecules of the existence. And this is the Holy Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you ever seen a Quran that you can move you can move and let mountains walk? Suyirat bihi al-jibal. It is this Holy Quran. أو أحيي به الموتى. It is this Holy Quran. Or if I let this Quran down on a mountain, you will see it shivering and shaking from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the closer you will get to the Holy Quran, the more power over the existence you will have. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole world. Let me kind of make it a quick example. Let's say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the writer, and whatever He wants to write, He just says it. And once He says something, that thing will be created. So this whole universe, this whole cosmos is a book. The writer is Allah. And all what He does is He says it. Listen to this. Allah by Himself said, وَكَلِمَةٌ مِّنْهُ الْمَسِيحَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. One word. Be and it shall be. This is the Holy Quran. So it is really a great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us, and we are discussing this gleaming, enlightening words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He brought this miracle with these alphabets, Alif, Lam, Mim. One of the explanations. We have about 11 or maybe 12 different ideas about what is Alif, Lam, Mim. Among them is the one that has been said by our master, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullahi alayhi, Asadullah al-Ghalib, alayhi ibn Abi Talib, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
In which he says that it is a secret between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his servant, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ذلك الكتاب ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب. And then we said ذلك means that book that is far away, yet it means this book that is between us. It is this book physically we can handle, but in depth of it is meaning it is that far away book. And the deeper you get, you'll realize how far it is that you have to understand. How can we understand the Holy Quran? We explain, we have to. There's no way around it. We must turn to the teachers of this Holy Quran, that they are Ahlul Bayt, salamu allahi alayhi. ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. In Arabic, when he said ذَٰلِكَ, it's for far away. When he said هَذَا, this, you know, just he said this and that. هَذَا وَذَٰلِكَ. So Allah is not saying this, he's saying ذَٰلِكَ, that book. And it is this book. الْكِتَابِ. الْكِتَابِ means the book. The book is the Holy Quran. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt whatsoever in this holy book. If there was someone that he thinks that he has the brain muscles, let's say, to challenge the Holy Quran, let him come. Let him take the initiative and say, I found a mistake in this holy book. I found a contradiction. No better than that yet. I can write a better writing than this holy book. This book has been among us, between our hands, for about 1,450 years, give and take, and still is between us. And whoever wants, let him come and try. لا ريب فيه. This book is, what kind of a book is it? It is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. If you would like to have a book that is specialized in guidance, it is this book. What is al-muttaqi? Hudan, hidayah, we said it is the juice. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this whole universe in order to guide us toward Him. He sent all of these messengers, in which a lot of them, they were tortured. They were killed. They were massacred. They were sawed with a saw for the sake of bringing this guidance to you. That subhanAllah, there is another force, the force of evil, the force of shaitan, on the other hand. And he comes into the picture. So what happens to humans, what they do is they kill the messengers in order to feel that selfish freedom, not real freedom. Selfish, hawa. Hawa means your desire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide you toward the eternal happiness, the infinite joy. He wants to guide you toward a total health, a total spiritual richness and wealth, a total peace. Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim. If you would like to have a total peace, total tranquility, you're going to turn to the Holy Quran. Otherwise, you've been misguided. There is, God forbid, hellfire is right here. It's with us. You know, if you really want to know, that is the next ayah. Hudan lil muttaqeen. Hudaya, it is a guide. What is muttaqeen? The ones that they protect themselves from any sin, from any mischief. Mubiqat, taqwa, protection, whatever it is. From, God forbid, wearing the wrong ring, if it was gold, for instance, he said, don't wear. But why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't wear a golden ring? Gold is not good for men, not for women. They can wear whatever they want. You protect yourself, because whatever Allah said don't do, that is a harm. It's just like you. If you see your child is playing on the roof of the house, if he got close to the edge, you tell him, son, don't go there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put this forth 1,400 years ago. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought it before him. It was brought by Jesus, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. Before him it was Moses, before him it was Noah and Enoch, Idris and so forth. 124,000. So we will know what are the bad things in life. We protect ourselves. If we protected ourselves, believe me, brothers, you will not get poor. You will not be depressed. You will not be saddened. You will not be living in tragedies. I mean, subhanAllah, look at today. You know, brothers and sisters, you guys know I work in a hospital. Do you know how many, what percentile of people, they live on these antidepressant medicine? But yet, mashallah, truly mashallah, you come and live with, I didn't say a fully, it's a half Muslim mu'min protecting himself. You see, I'm always happy, always joyful, always in that high state. SubhanAllah, others know they need something from outside in order to make them happy. Islam is what makes you happy. This religion is what makes you happy. This Holy Quran is makes you happy. It is the joy. How? You need taqwa. What is taqwa? Do not do whatever. If you would like to live healthy, wealthy life, dunya and akhirah, and have everything that you need in akhirah, just always put the word taqwa in front of you. You don't do what Allah said it is haram, and you do what Allah said it is wajib. In between, if you would like to be more muttaqi, you can do the mustahabbat, and you can not do the makruhat. We have another two, now we have four, right? And there is another verdict that's called mubah. You can do it if you want, you cannot do it if you don't. But even our imams, they even used the mubahat. You know, you guys know what mubah, allowed. Something that is allowed. Our imams, they used the mubahat in order to reach the height, the peak of the mountain of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Most of the things in our life is mubah. You can do. A night like this, you can come to the jamaah and instead of listening, you can talk to each other. That's mubah. Nobody tells you no. You see? But are you going to hold yourself? Now this is a statement from our crown and master, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, I did not see. Lam ajid. I did not see two things that are equal, means mubah in doing, except that I chose the hard. I chose the hard one. He chose the harder, in order, because the harder will make him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and besides, we have hadith that khayrul umuri ahmazuha. The best of the deeds are the harder ones. So, if you would like, as I said, you know, there is a, you know, someone will be happy by being a graduate from high school. Okay, you want to be a graduate from high school? That's fine. Another one, no, he says, no, I have more ambition. I would like to graduate from college and university. He goes to a university. He may gain an associate degree, only 2 years degree. He's satisfied. He gets out of school. Third one says, no, I have more ambition. I want to go to my bachelor degree. He gains a bachelor degree. Another person, he says, no, I want master. Another says, no, I want to go further, PhD. And so, same thing. In the school of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first grade is to be muttaqi. Then you enter the school of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you are in His high, lofty university. And then go forth. The more you control taqwa, the more you do taqwa, the highest you will get. The higher you will go. The more you do prayers, the higher you will go. The more at the times of the need you stop yourself from doing harm, the higher that you will go. It is a very controlled, beautiful, aware life. Awake life. Focused on one street, life. You know what I've just said needs a lot of training. To be tawajjuh, to be aware of who you are, where you are, to be aware of the surrounding, to focus on your way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concentrate. This needs a lot of training. And that needs taqwa. Taqwa means that protection, that steering wheel in the car, that brake in the car. Hudan lilmuttaqeen. Who are these muttaqeen? Alladheena. Allah began. Alladheena yu'minuna bilghayb. Those who believe. That's number one. Believe in what? Al-ghayb. The world beyond this world. Whatever is ghayb. Alladheena yu'minuna bilghayb. ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. So we have several directions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you would like to be muttaqi, you gotta do the following. And in other words, I mean, all of you have gone to the universities, right? When you go to the university, first they tell you, in order to get into the university, you need the following. You have to be a high school graduate, you've got to have such and such grade. Some schools, they say, well, maybe I need TOEFL, and so forth. You get into the university. Once you get into the university, you sit down with your advisor, and he say, well, now you need to study the following courses. First year, second year, third year, isn't that right? Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the highlights, the guidelines. So this is what you need. Number one, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. What you're going to do is first you're going to have faith, iman. What is iman? Iman means it's going to be proven to you as well. Now how can I believe in something that is not seen? How can I believe in something that I cannot touch? How can I believe in something that I cannot see? How can I believe in something that I cannot hear? This is the problem of today's scientists, matter of fact. A lot of scientists, they only believe in what is on the surface. I can't see it, therefore it doesn't exist. That's a problem. Can you see how superficial, how surface they are? Sathi. They are extremely, you know, if they can't see, it doesn't exist. I mean, just tell me, right in this room, do you see the air? You say, okay, maybe if I kind of move. Okay, how about electricity? Can you see electricity? These are things. These are the metaphysical aspect of life. And it is much huger than what you see. Much huger, yes, it is. It is huge. What do you see? We see each other now, right? I mean, let's say just because you did not see your grandfather, now, may Allah bless him, those who have their grandfathers are alive, may Allah give them a much, much longer life. Just because I did not see my grandfather, that means that he doesn't exist. See, that's a thing. Doesn't make sense, does it? You see, we get a have a proof. So we gotta have iman in ghayb. We get to have iman in the things that are unseen. Now unseen things, whether it is in a location, whether it is a person, or whether it is something that is really beyond the reach of our senses. And it can be comprehended and can be understood by the effects of, that is also iman, that is also a belief in beyond. The first one, I mean, okay, let's say none of you, for instance, has been to China, but we all believe that there is a country called China. And that's iman, right? All of us believe that you have a father, right? Although I have not seen it, you have a mother, although I have not seen them. These are ghayb. But these are mundanish ghaib. And then we have scientific ghaib. There is something called gravity in this room. And all of you, do you feel it? I mean, you see it because you're sitting in one place, right? If there was no such a thing as gravity, all of us, we were flying all over the place right now. That's a scientific issue. You can sit down and make tests and stuff. And, you know, sit down, sleep under the apple. You know, they said how they discovered the gravity by seeing that apple coming down on top of the scientists. You know, same thing, you know. You can practice that to go under a tree, see if an apple will fall on top of your head, knock you out for a second, you see. So, there is a gravity. That's why we're not moving. We sit in one place. How can I touch? I see the effects of the gravity. Let me discuss another issue. Now we are sitting in this beautiful library. All of these books, they've been put nicely right next to each other. Do you see? It is organized. What do you say? There is something called management. How do you see management? You see by the organization of these books right neatly beside each other. Organized, you know that these books are, for instance, history. These books are, for instance, geography. These books are, for instance, religious. These books are tafsir. These books are poetry. These books, you know, how? But if you go to, let's say that we came in the same room, and there was a book thrown over there, a table was upside down on the other side, a chair was fallen on its, what would you say? It is an unorganized, see, all of these are ghaib, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, and among them, or on the top of them, is the belief in the existence of the true existence. And that is the Almighty Allah of this whole universe, the creator of this universe. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Ghaib is huge, brothers, sisters. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, some they say, if you would like, now this is a very huge subject. What is the proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now if you go to the detailed books, you will see. There are many, many, many proofs of this book. You know, let me kind of put it in a language that it's been reiterated over and over and over. It said that a scientist went and he saw a person sitting right beside his animals, a shepherd, leaving them. And he looked at him and said, "Ya subhanAllah, this person doesn't know anything about the existence and the metaphysical aspect of this world and Adam al-Ghayb." He said, "How do you prove that there is God?" He said, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "Of course I believe in God." So how do you believe that there is God? You know, in a very simple words, he said, "Woe be to you, waylak, al-ba'ratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir." Beautiful, he said, ajallakum Allah. You know, the droppings of the camel. You see, as you know, every dropping is different. You know, you go search the animals, amazingly, it's different, you know, for the camel, for a human being, for a God, for a, you know, so forth. It's different. He said, al-ba'ratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir. When I see, I know that this belongs to a camel. It doesn't belong to a sheep, for instance, okay? You know, this had done. Wal-khuta tadullu ala al-masir. Yes, subhanAllah, each one has his own footprint. Each one. Again, go to the wild, go to the wilderness, and so forth. I mean, you know, more than that, I mean, look at the, you know, we have a lot of snow, right? When we have snow, sometimes you see footprints. And you can immediately understand if that footprint is a shoe from a human being, So a human being is walking. Or, for instance, a dog, Ajallakumullah, you know, that is walking, you know, you see the way. Or if it was maybe a raccoon or maybe a squirrel that is walking, you know them, is it? So he said, Al-Baharatu tadullu ala al-ba'ir, wal-khuta tadullu ala al-masir. This whole universe, ala tadullu ala al-qadir al-khabir, this whole universe, doesn't it lead on that powerful, knowledgeable, experienced existence? Definitely it does. Look around you. All of this is ghaib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be proven that He exists. You can see the effect of the creation, all of you. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Truly, a beautiful poetry. He says, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ. Everything that you will see, you will see a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Everything that you see is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only a sign of His existence, but also a sign that He is one. You know, let me kind of get it a little bit technical. We would like to be al-mu'minuna bil-ghayb, and the focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell me, who in the world is saying, I am God, I created this world, and I have sent the messengers in order to prove it? Let me kind of give you a quick example. Let's say that in this room, a watch had fallen in the middle of the floor. Let's say that somebody found it, and let's say he picked it up and he started flashing it and said, who does this watch belong to? Who does it belong to? And let's say that all of us said nothing except one person. They said, oh, that is my watch. Just think about it. No one will have a doubt that he is the owner. Isn't that right? Now look at this universe. Who beside Allah is saying, I am the creator of this universe? Pharaoh? Well, he died. Isn't that right? Nimrod? Well, he's gone. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent 124,000 prophets in this whole existence. And He is saying, this universe belongs to me. Inna lillahi. It's just like, I mean, very simple. Right here, if I said who that shoe belonged to, someone is going to say that's mine, isn't it? And nobody will doubt that he's lying. You know, Allah saying this universe is mine. Anyway, we have many other proofs to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the first focus have to be الَّذِينَ, those who believe in the metaphysical aspect of this world. الْغَيْد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is huge. He is much higher. He's much bigger for us to comprehend. But we see the signs. We see the effect. So we know. You look at the delicate flower, at a child. You know that he is latif. He's delicate. You look at the sturdiness of a mountain. You look at the thundering lightning when it comes down. Just look at it. You know that He is powerful. Look at the loftiness of this universe. You know that He is huge. You know when you see a mother hugging his beautiful child, right? You know that He is merciful. Speaking of mercy, brother, sister, let me tell you guys, do you know how huge is this universe? Do you know how small we are compared to the earth? Do you know how fast the earth is spinning around itself? Do you know how fast the earth is going around the sun? Do you know the sun the moon and the earth and the other planets, in what kind of a speed they are going with the solar system to wherever it's supposed to. But yet, you are sitting down there completely unaware of what's going on, right? Aren't we sitting here drinking tea, eating dates, smiling at each other, you know? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us, said, you know, if I wanted to make the whole existence night, what would you do? If I wanted to make the whole existence day, what would you do? If I wanted to show you the tremble of the earth, an earthquake, what would you do? These are signs, names of Allah. You can do that. You know, if you give these characteristics to yourself, the higher you make yourself in that characteristic, sifat, sifatullah, sifat al-khudawan. If you give that character, the higher you give that characteristic to yourself, the more you will be a sign of Allah for that characteristic and that characteristics. That, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known by the ismillah, with the sifat, with the characteristics of Allah. So you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these. So the more, and you can put all of these, you can make yourself merciful, you can make yourself knowledgeable, you can make yourself khabir experience, you can make yourself powerful, and so forth, and go. And the more you give yourself these characteristics, you'll be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Then what? وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Now brothers, Allah now, if you notice, He did not say وَيُصَلُّونَ. What is the difference between these two? It is not I pray, it is I establish prayer. Brother, as-salatu amudati. The prayer is the pillar of our faith. If it collapsed, what happened? The whole religion will collapse. If it got accepted, in qubilat, qubila ma siwa, in ruddat, rudda ma siwa. If it was accepted, everything else will be accepted. It seems like everything is connected to this prayer. Therefore, what is the meaning of establishing prayer? Iqamat as-salat. Now, number one, when it becomes time to the prayer, immediately it gets a show in us. It is time to pray. And not only to us, but also to our beloved, beautiful children. My dear beloved son, my dear beloved daughter, in 3 minutes, in 5 minutes, it is time to pray. Do you want to make a wudu? Do you want to, go wash? Do you want to do something? Iqamat. And when you pray, you've got to pray in a correct manner. You have to say the ha, as it is meant to be saying ha. Ha has a completely different location for pronunciation than ha. Ha has another place. Ta and ta, ayn and alif. You know, this concentration on the prayer, what you're doing is you're standing before Allah, the one that is so accurate. He expects accuracy out of you. As much as you can. Isn't that right? Don't you? I mean, some of you are teachers. May Allah bless you, inshallah ta'ala. When you go to the class and you teach your student over and over and over again, don't you expect out of him to give the tests as proper as you taught him? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Allah. He said in the Fatiha, Rabbil Alameen. And He taught us. He brought us all aspects of the knowledge of the Holy Quran. Therefore, when I say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it's supposed to be Alhamdu, not Alhamdu, not Al-Alameen. It is not Al-Alameen, it's Al-Alameen. For instance, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not stepping in somebody's toe, you know. And then, sujood. It got to be the proper sujood. الركوع. It got to be proper ركوع. You know, I spoke of pronunciation. You know, just a few days ago, I was telling a brothers, don't steal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a lot of people, what they do is they say, you know, سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده. It is not وبحمده, it is وبحمده. There is a ha in there. If you swallow that ha, it is short. You know, it's just like these, when somebody says, when somebody came and told you that the price of this one is $1.10, you're going to give that 10 cents. You see? So, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And then what? قامت الصلاة means give it, it is its weight. Do it in the correct manner. This is an energy that is coming out of you. It needs to be coming out of you at the following times. In the morning, we have five prayers. One is at you know, dawn. The second one is at noon and afternoon. Third one is at Maghrib and Isha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set it up where your body must relieve this energy in this manner. That is the healthiness that of your body, your mental status, your spirit, your emotions. Exercise for them, for yourself. It is the power that of concentration, the focus. You exercise these. Prayer is extremely important. That's why Allah is saying, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Now again, time is catching up with us again. That after, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And from whatever I have given them as a sustenance. A lot of people think that, well, rizq is what? It's money. No, it is not money. Strength is a rizq. Some people are weak. Beauty is a risk. Health is a risk. Children is a risk. Tranquility is a risk. A beautiful wife is one of the highest in the risk. And each one of these, it has a due that has to be given. I give you a quick story and then I stop. If you have a position, you have to give out of that position. Now, how can I give? Now, money, yes. You say, money, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Talk, you say, okay. But how about a position? I give you a story. One day, our Grand Master, son al-Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, salamu alayhi wa sallam. He went to Mecca for pilgrimage, as you know, they were living in Medina. And as he went to Mecca, he was performing the tawaf. As he was performing the tawaf, a man came, Yabna Rasulullah, oh the son of Rasulullah, please, I need this much money. Imam Hassan, I mean, look at Imam Hassan, he himself is a traveler. He's a hajj. Inshallah, may Allah give you the reward of going to Hajj. It's a beautiful experience. It's a challenging experience. He himself is in the middle of a ritual. He himself is a stranger. I mean, he's inside he's in Mecca. He's not in Medina. And there is a man saying, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I need money. Imam Hassan said, man number one, you see, I'm in tawaf. And I'm not in my house. You know, I'm so sorry, what can I do? How can I? He said, well, the landlord wants this much money out of me, otherwise I'll be out in the street. And Imam Hassan, very kindly, with a beautiful apology, saying, I really, you know, I don't have, but I'm willing to do anything else. He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, you're a well-known person. You're a reputed person. Everybody listens to you. Can you at least tell my landlord either to take it away or give me chance, give me future time? Imam Hassan, salamu alayhi, he said, yes. For this I will. Suddenly, the people saw Imam al-Hasan was taking like a detour outside of the tawaf. Ya Ibn Rasulullah, Imam al-Hasan, ya our Masoom, where are you going? Tawaf is this way. He said, yes, I have a more important duty. So what is your duty? He said, I have a position, maqam. You know, this is a position. And the position also requires giving nafaqah. See, brothers, you know, like if, let's say, you were somebody in a, you know, any position, and someone came to you and said, listen, I really, truly need a job. Can you please give a call to so-and-so? Maybe he gives me that job, you know, that recommendation at least. That, you see, so that, you see, wamimma, mimma. Now, it's a very deep subject, wamimma, from whatever that you have, money, position, strength, whatever, inshaAllah ta'ala. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يَنْفِقُونَ And then inshaAllah ta'ala we will get into the rest next class. It's beautiful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that enlightening spirit so we understand the Holy Quran and we understand the words that he had sent us through his imams and to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.